can just start.
We're started.
Prefer Tacons. Bill, Josh, how are you now? Yeah. What? Excuse me?
I'm great.
Was that? Did that even register on the mic?
Probably not.
I heard a little
bit. It's raining and our softball game's going to get canceled, so.
Well, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's really not.
We were going to get crushed.
Yeah.
It's going to get cold.
We were going to play the number one team in the league who beat us 25-2.
I won't say the scores for all the people that listen. They beat us by a lot, but we had half our team.
What was the second game score?
Let's put it this way. It wasn't too far off from the civil conflict last week.
It was a lot to a little.
It was a lot to a little. Yeah. And we did not get the garbage time cover like UConn did.
Mm. Yeah, it was. That was pretty bad. But
wait, are you talking civil conflict or our softball team?
Yes.
Yes. Well, we have a lot of UConn talk ahead of us.
Ooh,
not a lot. Just
hope you're listening.
Two things. Yeah, I slacked him earlier today.
Uh-oh.
And I said, hey, FYI, we have a lot of Randy Edsel talk in our show. And he just sent like three messages back in a row, just variants of all caps saying, yes, let's go, stuff like that. So God bless the UConn fandom.
Yeah. Well, it's alive and kicking.
Almost basketball season, which you guys are also not good at right now.
Josh is giving body shots right now.
Yeah,
something
maybe
happened?
It has something to do with that chair because last week I was in that chair and I was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
yeah.
We just rotate.
That's the way it goes.
Well, for the recap show, Keith will sit there and just be like, "Welcome, preferred talk guys. Nothing matters." That was it.
Yeah,
that's our week.
That's the week. So, how'd your teams do?
I lost to Jake.
Gumby.
Gumby.
You lost. Jake. To a De'Arrick Kingless Gumby.
I did.
That's tough to swallow.
I said it on the last episode. I was worried about CeeDee Lamb, and I was right to be worried about him because he killed it through only probably three quarters. And had he stayed in there in the fourth, it could have been even worse for me.
Well, how bad was it?
He dropped.
I didn't see your.
I know he scored three touchdowns, and I have to look up our old score now, but.
Josh lost by 36. 34.
And how many points did CeeDee Lamb have?
Well, now I got to click on that.
39.5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he had himself a game. That's what happens when you play Texas Tech, though, and when you're Jalen Hurts and you can just
go ham.
Just sling it wherever you want.
And shout out Mountaineer Ross, who was mad that Jalen Hurts was weightlifting after the game as well.
Yeah, the J.J. Taylor didn't work out too well for you, eh?
He had two players. I'm just looking at the score. Like, I know I lost in my teams. Two of his players got 0 points.
Yeah, I was looking at that. You both only had 9 players that accrued points.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
Like,
but in your defense, J.J. Taylor was a game-time scratch, so there's nothing you could have done.
No.
It was
a late game, too. So, nothing you could do there, but no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting into the preview next week, but it's going to be a big one for me. So,
Bill, how about you?
I won. I defeated UConn Feve. And
you won.
Okay, easy guy.
What?
It's not that shocking. I'm 3-2. I'm a lot better in this league than our professional league.
I was excited for you. I think you mistook my emotions.
I think you mis-emoted. Anyway, I was also the second highest scoring team in the league this week, second only to Keith and his bearded ass over there. Mountaineer Ross is right behind me, but I was really happy with my quarterback play. Tommy DeVito, that pickup worked out perfectly, getting 30 points against Holy Cross. Dylan Gabriel got 25 points and did not play the second half against UConn. And he also got sacked for negative 17 yards, so that only detracted from his total. And then Mason Fine had a really good game. He got 27. And then Omar Bayless, waiver wire pickup that has just been absolute dynamite for me. He's got 10 touchdowns. He's a number 3 wide receiver on our scoring system in Fantrax right now. So
really good.
I cannot be more happy with that. Although, also shows that I don't know how to draft. So I'll take the good with the bad when it comes to that. But, yeah, I won. UConn Feve put up a mighty good fight. Thankfully, I ran into Anthony Gordon in a thunderstorm against Utah, and he only got 13. So that helped me immensely.
Well, it's like we keep saying, you don't really win your league at the draft. You win by making smart decisions.
Yep.
The correct ad drops, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like Keith said in our draft show, you have to be water, not only during the draft, but also during the season. You got to abandon your pre-draft plans if need be. And boy, have I abandoned them.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, I only have 3 players that I originally drafted are still starting for me.
Yeah.
But I'm also happy I won Bobby McGeddon, so I'll take that too.
Hey, I'm about to go through that, so we'll see how I come out the other end. But I think crush would be the wrong word for what I did to Husky Homer's behind, but it was pretty bad, 213-94.
And you didn't even have one of your players go.
Yeah.
You only had 10 players go.
Well, Markaway just didn't score. Right. He didn't have one player go.
But looking at, he didn't have three players go. Evan, I know you texted me to talk shit about the Aguayo kickers, but dude, get your lineup together, man.
Yeah.
No more Logan Bonner.
I mean, if all else fails, I just believe in Wisconsin's defense.
In Evan's defense, Rondo Moore got hurt in the middle of the game. No one's going to predict that.
No, but he also you did predict Luke Bonner not playing.
And Moore would not have gotten 140 points to make up the deficit.
Yeah.
So Keith was definitely the highest scorer of the week.
My team is amazing. I love them all.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there, guy.
I'm still recovering from the last week, so it's a little sore, but my team is the best.
I'm trying to look right now who has the single highest score in a week. Is that something we can do?
I'm sure you have to go week by week.
Yeah. I mean, you can. It's just pretty complicated. And also, it's probably going to be defense.
The defense that makes a difference, you mean?
No, it's probably going to be defense that's going to be the single highest scorer.
No, I'm looking at total. One person's team who scored the most fantasy points as a team.
It
looks like Sparty Matt has the best with 258 in week one.
We all shit on him pretty good for his auto draft, but he is 1.5.
He's making it work with what he's got.
Still, making it work. I don't even know if he's checked his team once.
That's the worst part because he still has five quarterbacks on his bench.
Yep. He still has five quarterbacks on his bench. He's also entering his own bye week Mageddon, and Armani Rogers left last week's game with a knee sprain, so he won't come back. So no. This will be the real test of how much attention Sparty Matt is paying to his league.
Oh, yeah.
Probably doesn't even know his login.
Which is zero.
He probably doesn't know his login.
It's zero.
Can you change his login just to mess with him?
I can definitely change his team name, but...
Matt, ear muscle real quick.
Yeah. So you want to jump into top performers and biggest disappointments?
I just want to shout out Jimmy for top-of-the-line roster management and just 3 days ago dropped Tate Martell. Just want to throw that in there real quick.
He's making it work. He tried to believe as long as he could. Did not like those goose eggs week after week after week.
Nope. Yeah, let's hear your top performers.
Okay. I mean, it should be no surprise the top two would be Tua and Jalen. 63 and 49, respectively. A couple surprises, though, for the next three guys. Sean Clifford from Penn State.
Yep.
47.3, only one interception. Lane Hatcher from Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Just
so, Evan.
44 points.
If you're not going to start Logan Bonner, perhaps the Arkansas State backup.
25 for 35, 440, four touchdowns, two interceptions.
Against a pretty decent Troy team, too.
Yeah, he was sacked three times. So.
Doesn't help the rushing yards.
No. Tyler Huntley out of Utah had 43.8 points, 21 for 30.
He's starting to hit a rhythm. Because
two touchdowns.
Utah has all those weird Friday night slates, so mm-hmm. They're the only team I watch on Fridays. So I know a lot more about Tyler Huntley than I ever thought I would. And he's starting to put it together.
Shout out to Cougar Zach.
Yeah.
So the next three, Caleb Barker out of Troy, Justin Fields out of Ohio State, and Caleb Evans out of UL Monroe. I think the only other one of note that I really had on here, actually two, would be Sean Shavers out of Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
who got...
out of nowhere.
Well, which is weird because listen to this line. He went 5 for 12 for 124 yards, two touchdowns. But he rushed 12 times for 102 yards and also two touchdowns.
Wyoming using a dual threat quarterback is like me. Oh, I can't say that. I was going to say brushing my teeth with my left hand. We talk about brushing teeth way too much. But Wyoming using a dual threat quarterback just feels wrong.
It's important. Please brush your teeth.
Floss too.
Every day. Twice a day. So the only other one would be Tanner Morgan out of Minnesota. He went, I have remembered to not say I do it way too much. That annoys me. I'm sorry. He went 21 for 22.
Efficient.
396 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Not a bad day.
No interceptions. He's only owned in 3% of leagues.
I have a note about this later in the show, but since we're talking Minnesota right now, they've won. They're 4-0 right now. Mm-hmm. Good for them. Their average margin of victory. Ooh. What?
I said woo.
Oh, I think you said who.
No.
Minnesota's average margin of victory through 4 games is 5 points. They've won by
seven. Gone overtime twice,
4-4 and 7. Yeah. Not exactly against great teams. And they let Purdue back into it this week. So.
Thanks for covering Purdue.
Yeah, that's great. So, biggest disappointments for quarterbacks. Elijah Sindelar from Purdue, 4-for-8, 46 yards.
He also left with a concussion, though.
Yes, he did leave with a concussion.
Adrian, I don't think he's playing this week either.
Yeah, I think he's out again. Adrian Martinez from Nebraska.
Oof.
8-for-17, 47 yards, 3 interceptions, and 4 sacks.
Yikes. That Ohio State defense is no joke,
That Ohio State team is no joke.
I would also like to go on the record. Adrian Martinez has been here
quite a bit.
A lot. And so I don't think he justifies his 95% ownership until he actually can prove that he doesn't throw it to another defender.
Yeah. 95 ownership is one thing. Startage is a different thing.
Right. Like, I don't have those stats.
If I'm Mountaineer Ross and used him as my first overall pick, that sucks because I put a lot of capital into it. But at the same time, Ross was still the third highest scorer while starting Adrian Martinez. Imagine where he would have been if he didn't start Adrian Martinez.
Right. So if anyone is on the books about Adrian Martinez, I would say it'd be time to pull the plug. I don't think you can afford, especially if you're starting, was this week 5? So you're starting.
This is week 6.
Week 6. So 1-4. If you're starting 2-3, you just can't afford to keep having that up and down, especially in Big Ten country where you're going to have run into a lot of solid defenses.
Right. And not only that, not just solid defenses, you have Northwestern and Wisconsin to play.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is, as of right now, the number one ranked defense in our fan tracks.
It's not going to get better. Mm-hmm. So if you have them, drop them. Kind of a surprise on here, Ian Book, 17 for 25 for only 165 yards. He was sacked 4 times, so for negative 11 yards, but just one of those games.
Virginia, they lead the country in sacks. I would not expect them to be the leader of that category.
Hey,
okay. It's that Bronco ball, baby.
Anthony Gordon from Washington State. 30 for 49 for 252 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, and 1 sack.
Yikes.
Not a great day. Spencer Sanders, OK State. 16 for 25. How many did he have, Josh? 153 yards? 1 touchdown?
You're the one that's the stats right in front of you.
2 interceptions?
Yeah, they didn't play the typical shitty Big 12 defense. They probably played one of the teams in the Big 12 that you forget is even in the Big 12 in Kansas State.
I think we need to switch chairs at our break.
Yeah, I know.
Josh is being real bummed.
No, I'm. Yeah,
you are really boning me out.
But they got Texas Tech this week. But that's for the previous show.
And Oklahoma State also had a weather delay.
Right.
They were at home against Kansas State, mm-hmm. but is that still rain?
No, that's this.
Oh.
Sorry, there's a dull roar in the background. The HVAC is humming right now.
Well, the temperature dropped by like 20 degrees.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This doesn't know how to handle it.
So the last one that I will say is somebody I own, but I have pulled the plug on since. He was on life support, and now he is out of my team. That is Holton Ahlers from ECU. Another, this line, 8 for 21.
Oof.
202 pass yards. 2 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions.
And that was against Old Dominion.
It's not going to get better. Again, he had a lot of promise. I thought he looked great in mm-hmm. the spring, but I can't afford to keep him on my bench to accrue no points.
Right.
It's a useless gesture for me.
Right.
Other notable injuries, Dorian Thompson-Robinson left the game early from UCLA with an ankle injury.
Mm.
Khalil Tate did not play. The hamstring injury. Jordan McLeod left the game with a wrist injury from Southern Florida. And we already mentioned Elijah Sindelar is in concussion protocol.
Yeah. So. Tough week for quarterbacks, man.
Rough week for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Except for the obvious ones. I mean, Kellen Mond came back pretty strong. 23 for 35, 251 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm still almost lost to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Penix came back in a big way. 33 for 42, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns. So, a couple of usual suspects, but I think that running backs. Number one running back, Patrick Carr from Houston.
How about it?
Picking up from where Garrett King left off, I suppose, but he had 16 rushing attempts for 139 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also added 4 catches for 29 yards. Chubb Hub,
big surprise.
Of course.
It keeps logging in. And
week after week.
Just destroying it. This is a pretty weird week for running backs. So, Artavis Pierce from Oregon State. 16 rushing attempts, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns, then almost 50 yards in receptions.
Interesting.
King, I'm going to slaughter this name. And I'm going to... Just like Josh would. So it's going to be King Doru. D-O-E-R-U-E. It's a French name. Out of Purdue. Anyway, he rushed for 20 rushing attempts, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 receiving touchdown for 32 yards. Tony Jones Jr. for Notre Dame. 18 rushing attempts, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Guess who dropped him after last week? I did.
Oh, Tony Jones?
Yep.
Mm,
wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. And then we have Eno Benjamin. 29 rushing attempts, an even 100 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 14 receiving yards. Biggest disappointments? Jamar Jefferson, Oregon State. 4 rushing attempts for 17 yards.
That's interesting. So Artavis Pierce from Oregon State was one of the top performers,
mm-hmm.
and Jamar Jefferson was one of the bottom performers.
He only had 4 rushing attempts.
Interesting. And they still almost beat Stanford.
I didn't hear anything about an injury for him.
I'll do a quick look.
Yeah, do a quick look for us. Moving on, Charles Williams from UNLV. 5 rushing attempts, 17 yards. But he left the game with an ankle injury. Michael Warren II from Cincinnati, 13 rushing attempts for 42 yards.
Speaking of disappointments.
Yeah, it might be another one. I would put him, if you spend a lot of draft capital on Michael Warren, I would put him on life support right now.
Yeah,
you have exactly one more week to get this right, because guess what? You played Marshall.
Marshall's got a solid defense. They held Boise State to 14.
We have a good defense, but as a running back, you got to be the heart of that Cincinnati team.
You just need UConn to come to town. That's all you need. Get back on track. Going back to Jamar Jefferson, he was in a walking boot for the game, so he's going to...
He might have tweaked something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's going to practice this week and head back to normal workload.
I didn't see an official injury designation for him, so they may be keeping it under wraps, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Anthony McFarland Jr. from Maryland. 9 rushing attempts for 24 yards. Benny LeMay. 11 rushing attempts for only 46 yards.
Remember when Maryland used to look good?
Yeah.
Yikes. What a fall from grace. Here's an interesting one. Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Out of Alabama. Only 9 attempts for 71 yards.
That's still really good yards per carry, though.
Yards per carry. I mean, he has the same exact carries as Anthony McFarland, but he scored 4 more points just from his percentages.
That's the thing about Bama players. Like, they're going to have explosive plays, but they're not going to be playing the full game.
Yeah.
Especially because this week Devontae Smith caught 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to hand the ball off
at all.
If you choose the one Bama player that's going to go off, could be a different guy every week.
Right.
And another disappointment. Travis Etienne out of Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
14 attempts for 67 yards, one touchdown, and one fumble.
You got to shout out UNC. They played quite well against Clemson. A lot better than I was expecting.
I will say this. They should have won that game. But
We have a note in that. We'll talk later in that one.
But the team, better teams make less mistakes. And
Fewer mistakes, Keith.
Yes, they all make less mistakes.
God damn it.
Damn, Bill, that English degree is really paying off for you, eh?
Yep, no one listens to me. It's great.
Just to correct me on our podcast.
And you still just don't care.
Wide receivers, we'll just start off with...
I'm going to guess Devontae Smith is up there.
Devontae or Devonta?
I'm going to go Tay because it's spelled the same way as Devontae Freeman, running back for the Falcons.
Devonta Smith from Alabama because there's no E at the end of his name.
Yeah, but there's an apostrophe. You're still not listening to my grammatical suggestions, so just keep going.
Grammatical? No, I am not. So he had 11 receptions for 274 yards with 5 touchdowns.
Both school records.
Jeez. CeeDee Lamb, as Josh noted earlier, 7 receptions for 185 yards, 3 touchdowns. I will have to say, I'm going to slaughter this name too, because he's only owned in 1% of leagues.
Oh, wow.
He's a player from Indiana.
Of course he is.
Do you want to guess who I'm about to say?
Nick Westbrook.
WAP Fillior.
That's about right. Sounds right.
WAP went for a whopping 142 yards off of 14 receptions for 2 touchdowns.
That's Michigan State's defense.
Yes. Went all sloppy. Very sloppy game. Omar Bayless from Arkansas State.
Yeah.
10 receptions, 213 yards. Cedric Byrd. Only 7 receptions and only 87 yards, but 3 touchdowns and 1 rushing attempt for 30 yards.
They beat the crap out of Nevada. I was not expecting that at all.
Seth Williams out of Auburn, 8 receptions, 161 yards. And the only other one of note, I would say, would be Tyquan Thornton from Baylor. Oh, Baylor had a game. 11 receptions, 141 yards, 1 touchdown. So, and there's another Baylor player on here who went for 6 receptions for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. But everyone knows him as Denzel Mims.
Yep.
So your team had a pretty good day when 2 of your players didn't make the top performers.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is Baylor only scored 23 points against Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive. A lot of work and not a lot of points.
We already noted earlier Rondell Moore was carted off the field. From Purdue, and Jordan Mitchell from Southern Miss left the game early. So, disappointments would be J.D. Spielman out of Nebraska, 1 reception for 7 yards. Henry Ruggs III, 1 reception for 11 yards.
Got injured.
Then Rondell Moore, we already mentioned. Aesop Winston Jr. from Washington State had 2 receptions for 30 yards. Elijah Moore from Ole Miss had 3 receptions for 40 yards.
Didn't you drop him?
Yep.
Just picked him up. not for this week.
Yeah. And then we have Justin Ross from Clemson, 3 receptions, 47 yards. Brian Edwards, 6 for 37. And Quez Watkins.
I feel like
Southern Miss.
Every week he's either in the top performers or the disappointments.
Yeah.
There's no in between for him.
Do you want to ride that roller coaster or no?
Me? No.
And, yeah, that's really the only other people. There's no one else of note besides JoJo Ward, only 5 for 68. But
still isn't terrible.
Not a terrible game, but amongst most receivers. You
know. Yeah.
I mean, he's still – it's crazy saying that. He scored 11 points. So like,
it's not awful.
He was serviceable. He just wasn't a top player. That's the best you could say.
Yeah. That's how I describe my life as well.
Not a top performer?
Serviceable, but not a top performer.
Ah, serviceable. It's nice to see yourself so highly, Bill.
Let's
I think very highly of myself.
Let's talk about the standings.
Let's talk about the standings. It's getting knotted up.
We got three teams at 4-1. Chubhub, Gumby, and Keith. Chubhub leads the way, though, with points. Then Keith and Gumby. It's pretty packed at 3-2, battling for the fourth and final playoff spot, which currently is held by me. And then Sparty Matt, and I lead him by a total of 1.4 points. Bill, coming in next. And somehow, some way, Mountie Ross,
the scrappiest 3-2 you'll ever see,
is there.
Or as you put it the other day, the luckiest.
He is
3-2.
He has scored four more points than he is allowed. I do allowed in quotations because you can't control that. But he is so. Oh wait, that's my team. Never mind.
Can we count John out? Are we saying it?
Yes.
Is he done?
He's officially out.
He's officially out. What about the 1-4s?
I think Evan's probably out. Jimmy has an outside chance just because he has Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm. I think Gumby still at number 3 at 4-1. That Derek King loss is going to hurt him eventually.
It's got to.
So he could have drop a little bit in the standings there too. I think Chubb Hope's going to be all right.
I think Dylan and Keith are locks for the playoffs right now.
I knew it from the beginning.
All you gotta
it's
do is
nice
in.
That everyone else
Keith,
gets to realize it.
All you got to do is get in.
Kindly shut your face while we're going through this, okay?
Sorry.
You're going through Bobby McGinn, and I don't want to have to laugh in your face next week.
Yeah, you do.
I would love nothing more. Anyway, I play Josh this week, and not to get too far into the preview show, but if I can beat Josh and Sparty Matt doesn't have a great week with his Bobby McGinn, I can somehow fall backwards into the fourth seed.
It's
right
it's
now.
Wild. I like this.
It's getting so close, and Bree is still within striking distance at 2-3.
A strong 2-3. I'm surprised she's 2-3.
Yeah, Feeve is still putting up a ton of points. He's also at 2-3. He's put up
the
most out of any 2-3 team, and most of any 3-2 team for that matter.
Right. That's a crazy thing. Is Bree's also scoring way more? Way more points than Mountaineer Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And again, within striking distance of both Josh and Trouble with the Snap.
Right. Which is Sparty Matt.
Which is Sparty Matt.
If you can't. The highest point in MSU history, the Trouble with the Snap. Matt, you can take your mouth off now. Yeah, it's getting really close to the top of the standings.
I love it.
The playoffs are going to be, it's going to be wild here. And now that we're in conference play, we talked about this a little bit last week. Now that we're in conference play and we've kind of found a rhythm with our teams,
mm-hmm.
we're starting to shape up a little bit. Losses, hit the waiver wire.
Yeah, you got to be firm too.
You got to be firm. Now is not the time to have a soft spot for your second round draft pick.
Yeah, you can't be nursing these players to the finish line because you think you have that. You either like their team or you have that. Well, I spent my second round pick on him. I can't drop him.
Yep.
He's still a good athlete. Okay, he's still a good athlete, but until he produces for you.
Like,
he's useless.
What does a pro team do when their second-round pick doesn't pan out?
Cut him. Right.
Yep. Because, everyone knows that there's a perfect correlation between fantasy
it's
sports
a business.
And professional
it's a business.
Sports.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
It's a business.
Sure is.
You just got to DFA him and pick up somebody who's actually producing for you.
That's correct. Just like I just cut Joshua Kelly last week. And then he goes for 18.5 against Arizona.
He's
perfect.
To find his own.
He's putting it back together. It's just wonderful. All right.
Let's take a quick break. Josh needs to switch chairs.
No, I don't. I'm very comfortable. I'm not switching.
Jesus.
Welcome back for Talk-Ons. We are going to get right into wrapping up last week. Non-fantasy portion.
We have a lemon bet update.
I lost the first lemon bet of the year.
And what was that again?
Iowa State really let me down.
Josh
really let me down.
Put a lemon bet on if Iowa State would enter the Oklahoma game at 7-1. They are now 2-2. Therefore, Josh has to either. We're going to give you an out here. Either the lemon slice or there's a week old cup of coffee.
Did
on
you
the
just
desk
add
here.
That?
I just thought of it. You can either drink the week old cup of coffee. Or you can eat the lemon. Your pick.
Wait, what? Those are the two?
Keith, you agree to that?
I'm going to eat the lemon.
All right.
I'm not going to drink This coffee was gross when I got it hot. I'm not going to drink it cold.
Fair enough. Okay. I forgot to get the lemon, so we'll have to do that.
Good, because I didn't know we were doing it today.
Well, we were supposed to, but somebody forgot the fucking lemon.
Yeah, I just said I did.
Yeah. Bill, I forgive you, because everyone knows lemons are really hard to find.
Yeah, they are, and they're really expensive. They're like 59 cents a piece.
Yeah. It's really hard to lose a yellow, yellow piece of fruit.
Those are the ones you put in the Coronas, right?
Just FYI, Hawaii does play Boise State next. And I think if they lose that game, that's two losses. When can we officially count them out of the New Year's Six game? Do we have to wait all the way to...
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't.
Come on.
Because it could go horribly awry, and Boise State could end at 6-6, and then Hawaii could then find their... UCF could end up 5-7.
Do you really think, after the beatdown they just displayed against Nevada, that... they're not going to make a New York Six.
That was on purpose.
You what?
No, I don't. Don't.
Hawaii beat Nevada. Mm-hmm. Who beat Purdue?
Correct.
Could Hawaii...
Who just lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, but could Hawaii hold their own in the Big Ten? I think the question needs to be asked.
That would be a hell of a travel schedule for them.
Yeah,
they could. Better than Rutgers.
Excellent point.
They would be way more insane than Rutgers.
Honestly, it'd be
at least they'd be
Rutgers.
More fun.
Yes.
Because it wouldn't be a guaranteed blowout every time.
No.
By the way, I have a fun stat here. The recent Big Ten additions to the conference this week were outscored 159-7. Nebraska lost 48-7. Maryland lost 59-0. And Rutgers lost 52-0.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Ohio State, for not completing the shutout. You guys suck.
Yeah.
Bunch of
suck.
Bums.
They're gonna get good.
I have a lemon bet of my own.
Ooh.
That I'd like to.
Oh wait, a lemon bet for yourself?
Yeah, for myself.
All right, what is it?
That I'd like to propose if anyone wants to take me up on it.
Okay.
So, I was reading up on my favorite subject this past week, Jake Fromm, and looking at his fantasy stats through the year, and surprise, surprise, they're not great. So, just a couple notes real quick, if I can get to the page of my notebook.
Yep, still not there.
Found it.
Okay.
So Jake Fromm has 65 points through four games, averaging roughly 16 a game. Not bad. A couple other quarterbacks who are averaging more than him. Bo Nix, a true freshman for Auburn, is averaging more than him. Sean Clifford, first-year starter at Penn State. Michael Penix, through three games, has a higher total than Jake Fromm. Nate Stanley, the Iowa quarterback.
Everybody knows Iowa quarterbacks are electric.
He is averaging and has totaled more than Jake Fromm. So, Florida State named a new starter, Alex Hornibrook. If Alex Hornibrook doesn't finish the season with more fantasy points than Jake Fromm, that's my lemon bet. I'll eat a lemon slice.
That's all you if you want it, Keith. It seems like this is directed towards you anyway.
Yeah, I feel very personally attacked, and perhaps it's because my team is doing so well.
Nope, that's not it.
That I get singled out like this, but so Alex
Chair wants
Hornibrook.
To pipe in too.
If he averages more, if he has a more total.
Yeah, averages
total.
More. Totals.
Total. And this is only assuming both start for the rest of the season. So if one gets hurt, obviously bets off.
See, I don't like that.
Why?
Because that gives you an out. I don't like outs.
But it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, but you made this bet.
Okay, say Alex Hornibrook gets
hit
by a car.
See, bets are inherently unfair is because you're pitting one thing against the other. But
yeah.
if you leave outs, then it's like, then why make the bet in the first place?
I'm pitting Alex Hornibrook.
Yeah, you're taking it out, you're slapping it on the table,
exactly.
And you're saying, look at this.
Yeah.
And it's up to me whether or not I want to look at that.
Fuck it, I'll take it. Just add some.
Because Keith's thinking way too hard about it.
I'm not thinking way too hard. I don't like these outs.
Gambling doesn't work if you think too much about it. Because then you always talk yourself out of it. Or you talk yourself into it, and you lose a bunch of money.
Do you lose the bet if the game is canceled because of rain? No, there's just no bet. If Alex Hornibrook's out for the year, or Jake Fromm says he wants to prep for the NFL, I don't lose the bet. The bet's just off.
I just don't like this.
He's scared.
I'm not scared.
I think he knows it.
I would happily take this bet. I just... Because here's the thing. I don't want... Alex Hornibrook... tweaked his ankle so he doesn't play for a game or a quarter, and then therefore you say, oh,
well, he didn't play for this long, so I guess I don't have to do this bet because I'm not a man. I'm not man enough to stick to my fucking word.
That's exactly how I sound. You nailed it. You nailed it, Keith.
Oh, man.
I think we have Frank Caliendo in the room here because that impression was just absolutely spot on. Incredible. Well, apparently we brought the manhood into it, so. I mean, the fact that you're hedging this so much makes me question your manhood there, Keith.
What do you mean hedging this so much? I just don't want to give you the out.
If Alex Hornibrook tears his ACL, of course you're not going to beat Jake Fromm.
And if Jake Fromm tears his ACL, then he's not going to beat Alex Hornibrook.
Right. So the bet is off.
No, then I would say I would lose because I took that bet.
All right, this is not as fun as I was expecting. That sucked. Thanks a lot, Keith.
Oh, what?
I was hoping for some fireworks because it's Alex Hornibrook, but never mind.
But yeah, I'll take it.
Nope, too late. Okay. Pac-12's dead.
Yeah. Officially. They there's no 11-1 team in the Pac-12 that's getting into any sort of playoff. Sorry, but it's just not going to happen. Maybe USC of old, when I say of old, I mean like mid-2000s USC would be the only Pac-12 team that's getting in if they were in the current playoff system then. Other than that, you're not getting in at 11-1 Washington. Utah's not getting in at 11-1. Oregon's not getting in at 11-1. You're not going to get in over a one-loss SEC team 10 times out of 10.
Right. I said the Pac-12 is dead, assuming that other teams finish as we expect them to. So, like, Alabama's going to go undefeated. Clemson's going to go undefeated. Mm-hmm. Georgia is going to have...
And so you're saying it's a one-loss Georgia?
Yes, a one-loss Georgia in the SEC championship game.
12-0 Ohio State team.
12-0 Ohio State, 12-0 Oklahoma, maybe a loss to Texas in there.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's any way possible. They have to hope that Clemson loses two games, Alabama loses two games, Georgia loses two games. Ohio, you know,
are all equally hilarious.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
This is the first time in the 12-school era in the Pac-12 that there has not been an undefeated team by October.
Well,
how about that?
That's pretty good, I'd say. I mean, it's a pretty weird stat. I also think it's a little too early to say that they're officially dead, but
I think they're dead.
You think they're dead?
Well, it's a lot of the teams, too. They're beating up on each other.
Right.
Like,
well, that's called conference.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, like, Oregon, they're you know, 1-0 in the conference. Their only loss so far has been Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Cal beat Washington. USC beat Utah.
Yep.
Who
beat Washington State?
Yeah. So there. I mean, I just don't think the Pac-12 is not a strong enough conference to get a team in one loss. They're dead. Pac-12's dead.
See, that's the other flat side of the coin.
Enjoy the Rose Bowl.
They cannibalize their own conference, but at the same time, when you look at it, who's the highest ranked team right now? Washington?
Yeah.
You put Washington against Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson.
Is it Washington? Sorry.
I think it might be Oregon.
Either way.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Yeah. Okay.
Like, we saw how Oregon handled Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn is the second or third best team in the SEC. Maybe third or fourth, depending on how you feel about LSU.
I was about to say, would you put them? I would almost put LSU.
I was thinking explicitly the SEC West.
Right.
But
yeah.
Okay. Not great.
That's it. Kind of a good segment into what we have next. With speaking of Pac-12, do you want to talk about the
Cali schools?
The Cali schools.
Yeah, so this is obviously hot news these days.
Yep.
And of course you're gonna go to your favorite your favorite podcasters in college football.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk. So California Governor Gavin Newsom signed SB 206, the Fair Pay to Play Act, into law. So starting in 2023, college athletes that attend school in California will be able to profit off of their likeness. So they're not getting paid by the schools. They can just use their name to get autograph, get endorsement money.
Good for the state of California. I'm surprised.
I don't South Carolina, and I want to say New York, another team out east, also have similar bills right now waiting to be signed. So
it's the start of a trend.
I think so.
It's got to be.
So I guess my only question that comes from this is, does this mean when somebody says they can profit off their likeness that when they're recruited, they can accept gifts?
Because they have to be enrolled at the school first.
Enrolled at the school.
Right.
Okay. I understand where this is trying to go. I just don't think it's a perfect resolution
but it's a start.
Yes. Again, it is a nice start.
Yeah.
However, I don't think this is going to play as well as people assume it would just based off the headline alone.
Right.
Because you're starting to get into other issues. The local Mercedes-Benz dealer is an LSU Tiger fan.
Yep.
And he sees the number one recruit come by. He says, hey, your freshman year, you will get a brand new Mercedes-Benz because
that's true too.
I believe in your likeness and you are allowed to profit off of it now.
Right.
So that becomes his asset. So where does individual states' jurisdiction begin or end? And where does the NCAA jurisdiction begin?
Gotcha.
Because it's just been fixed. The NCAA would have just stepped in.
Well, they have time. It's not until 2023.
Yeah, they have 4 years to figure it out.
So they have 4 years to kind of interweave laws and try to make this better. I don't think this is a death knell for the NCAA.
No.
But it is a step in the right direction that doesn't solve a lot of issues
that
already play college football.
Right.
Because if somebody's dumb enough to poison nature because it's something representative to a school, people are going to be way stupider when it comes to money.
It's a very good point.
And if I'm the state of Texas, the state of Florida, the state of Ohio, the state of Michigan, I'm like, oh shit, we better get something going because now that's a hell of a recruiting bridge.
Yeah.
USC's got, hey, you could go to Ohio State, you could go to Texas, or you come to USC and make money off your likeness.
Yep. We can sell your jersey and you'll get X percentage of all those sales.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to turn down. But at the same time, if USC continues on this trajectory, their football won't be very good. So what do you want? Do you want to get paid or do you want to play good football? For right now.
Well, yes. Do you want to get paid or do you want to win championships? That's essentially the...
Or just go to the NFL and do both.
Right.
I just think for how much money coaches make, athletic directors, conference commissioners, and just schools in general make. There's enough to go around that the players can see a little bit of that. If Trevor Lawrence wants to, like you said, Mercedes-Benz dealer, wants to do a local commercial for that and pocket $2,500. I don't think that's horrible.
No.
It's not the end of the world.
I understand what you're saying. I just don't think people are thinking about scale.
Because who's going to want the second offensive tackle to come to a...
Correct.
But if I own a steakhouse, I don't know. You get the whole O-line in there, pay $5,000.
But, no, but that four-string quarterback, that doesn't even dress.
Yeah.
But not only that.
And then non-revenue sports, etc.
Well, that's different because, again, like I said, now... ties into Title IX.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the schools are paying them. It's just that some athletes will make way more money, and that just comes into a whole different host of issues of, like, are they going to now start paying for better stuff, and then does that make them a target? And then at a certain point, schools like you kind of got to look, sit there and think, is it even worth having a football program at all?
Well, UConn is dropping FCS. So...
Right, but even that drop,
right.
I still won't be able to do that.
The economics of college sports. economics is there's only like 14 schools that actually turn a profit,
right.
Is because it's so expensive to run an entire department,
and a lot of that is funded entirely by football.
Right.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, most schools it is. You know, you're going to have the big basketball schools too, like Duke, you know, North Carolina, but. And the majority ones out there, it's the other sports
football's
run on
king.
Football.
Yep.
Right. But the individual schools don't necessarily see profits.
Right.
It's more of a let's limp along into the next year so the conference who has all the money pays us
And we get a little bit for getting our ass beat on TV for like 6 weeks.
Please, sir, may I have some more? We just did this great thing. Please help us.
Because I make a trip to Tuscaloosa and lose 51-10.
Right. Because if the NCAA doesn't think it can afford to pay the third assistant for most college baseball teams.
That's so dumb.
It's, again, that's just.
Was that a payment thing or just a tactical advantage thing?
He's working regardless.
Right.
It's just, can you help him and his family before he gets his next gig?
Right.
It was kind of, when I was, I don't want to say I know everything because I worked once for a college. I hate those people. But when I worked at Central Michigan, we were a Division I university, yet there were some parts of the office who had to share a phone between departments because there wasn't enough to go around. I mean, we always work from a sense of lack and what you can scrape by with. So not a lot of people see the behind the scenes part of it, and they just see the headline.
Right.
It's like, ooh, this is the cause du jour. So, yes, I support this fully without quite understanding the back end.
There's a lot of back end to go through.
We'll see what happens.
We will. But I think this is a very small snowflake that's going to roll into a very big snowball in the next 4 years.
Big old snowball.
Mm. Since Josh wants to keep pushing UConn into the ground.
Yeah.
Let's talk civil conflict.
Sorry, Bill.
You almost hit me in the eye. He snapped a rubber band, by the way.
Central Florida dominated UConn, which it sucks. We're used to the civil conflict at being, one of those barn burners, those close games that everyone looks forward to. Surprise game day wasn't there this week.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
They just go to the civil conflict. That'd be awesome.
That would be hilarious.
Do we know if they took the trophy this year?
We don't know where the trophy is.
Get fired, he probably took it, the one that tried to start the whole civil conflict rivalry.
Bob Diaco's got it in his basement somewhere. couple notes about this game, though.
Okay.
So you see UConn finish on a hot streak. They scored 3 straight touchdowns, and if the game were 120 minutes instead of 60 minutes, I think we would have had a different outcome, just saying. Randy Edsall also pulled in a big bonus. Let me pull up this tweet real quick.
Please do.
So, UConn, their UConn defense had a better red zone scoring percentage than UCF's. UConn allowed 5 trips into the red zone, but only 4 touchdowns by UCF. And UCF, wait, hang on, I'm butchering this. Let me just read the whole tweet.
Okay, please.
This is from Steve Berkowitz, by Berkowitz. UConn loses to UCF 56-21. UConn coach Randy Edsall picks up $2,000 bonus because Huskies defense had better red zone scoring percentage against than UCF's. UConn allowed 4 scores in 5 trips by UCF, but UCF allowed 3 scores in 3 trips. So Randy Edsall literally tripped and fell backwards into a $2,000 bonus. Great work.
Ooh.
I just wanted to highlight that because that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And the civil conflict is probably dead.
No, until next year.
Oh, UConn's moving down.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
still need to play.
I was about to ask, you think they're playing through the FCS?
That's got to be a protected rivalry.
It's got to be.
You got to get North Dakota State and Iowa back on the schedule, too.
Agreed.
Yeah.
While we're talking to FCS schools, Rutgers fired Chris Ash.
Josh and mine's
like that, Jeb.
Looking pretty good, eh?
Yeah, remember earlier, before the season, we had over-unders totals, and Josh and Keith both took over 1.5 coaches fired by November 1st. Mm-hmm. And the way South Florida is trending...
I was going to say, Charlie Strong.
Yeah, that's looking like a Charlie Strong bet to be the second coach and hit the over. So,
and I was going to say Randy Edsall until you read that tweet about the red zone defense, and then it's like, no, they're not going to fire him. They'll probably extend him.
Also, who would want the UConn job? I don't know.
Great question. Knowing where they're going.
See, but making it an FCS school might make it more attractive because you have a more regional recruiting footprint and you can put a better, audition on tape, so to speak.
I wonder if that changes his contract.
That's a good question.
Because, if you're an FCS school, you're not going to be making FBS money.
No. not at all. So it also depends on, I think, which conference they join. That's the Big East, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about television contracts for FCS, so don't know what type of money they'll be pulling in.
Well, I'll be happy to see them on ESPN Plus next year.
There you go. Look at that ESPN Plus money.
ESPN Plus money.
Which
that we do.
Hey! Back to have that one out. Who does Rutgers even go after? There are rumors of Butch Jones and Greg Schiano.
Is Butch Jones still Saban's intern right now?
He is. He's still an analyst for Bama, whatever you want
to. I got to imagine he'd be the guy that they go after. Schiano goes back to Rutgers.
Sorry, I'm going to sound like a real dum-dum here, but who was Maryland's coach
right now?
Before, like, last year that took over?
Oh, DJ Durkin.
Problematic.
Oh, the guy that, the interim for DJ Durkin, Matt Canada.
Where's he now?
He's not working. Not that I know of, at least.
Well, I mean, I thought that they would stick with Matt Canada.
I thought he was an OC somewhere.
But
that's actually a really good name to throw out there.
I liked what he did, and they looked really competent under him.
They really did. For everything that Maryland had to go through before the 2018 season even started, I think going 5-7 and damn near beating Ohio State.
And beating Texas.
And beating Texas. Like, more than twice, second straight year, is quite a commendable achievement.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a fun thing. You can put in his cap. And honestly, at that might be the best name you can get.
That's
if you're Rutgers.
Really good name to throw out there.
It's a good dude.
As of August 27th, Sports Illustrated published a column on him that says he is currently entering the 2019 season unemployed. So, I know he bounced around quite a bit, so he might have a stigma of being difficult to work with. I know he definitely had a falling out with Coach O.
Yeah.
So, that for...
I'm sure he's an analyst somewhere. Like, unemployed.
Yeah.
Because you're still getting paid off from the last job, so you can't actually take money of that whole back and forth. But
yeah, I'd be curious about how his contract with Maryland was structured after that whole debacle.
Right.
But it's actually a solid name choice.
The most anybody's ever talked about Rutgers ever.
Probably.
Mm.
Well, except for the guys who do radio for Rutgers.
They probably don't even want to talk about Rutgers.
Yeah. They probably spent more time talking about the other team. I'm sorry. If you're a Rutgers fan, that's awesome. But they're just so bad at football.
Their interim head coach is Nunzio Campanile. So you can expect a Sbarro to pop up in their stadium next week. Should we cut that?
Michael Scott's favorite pizza joint.
You can't. You can't cut that. Oh, it's right in the middle.
It's been said.
That happens.
Oh, man.
Sorry, go ahead.
Other than that, it really was not a super fun week in college football.
What? Should they have gone for two?
Oh, I completely skipped that bullet point. Should North Carolina have gone for two against Clemson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Especially when you get into a red zone battle against Clemson in overtime, you're not winning that one. I don't care how poorly Clemson played that
day. They did what they had
to
do. Wasn't a fan of the play call.
Yeah, the last couple, and that's why I would say, if you can't handle that game situation, go for the tie, and see what you can do in overtime.
I hate when you run the ball. Like, on a 2-point conversion,
it was a bad read option.
Throw the ball.
That was doomed from the start.
Blew up.
Yeah. Against Clemson's
D-line,
I don't know if an option was the play to make.
No.
Obviously, it wasn't.
That said, I like the choice to go for two, just not necessarily the play that they chose.
Right.
Because how many times have we seen it this year? A team goes for the tie, and the next overtime or in overtime is left with a loss, probably thinking we should have gone for two.
Mm-hmm. Will it be Iowa State week one?
Iowa State, or I guess, I feel bad. Who did Iowa State? Northern Iowa.
Right.
Should have gone for two. Louisiana Monroe should have gone for two. Just straight up missed the extra point against Florida State.
Yeah.
So those two come to mind right off the bat. I'm sure there are more.
It was like I said, big time players and coaches make fewer mistakes than a normal team.
So the difference between, you could say the difference between a normal athlete and an elite athlete is making less mistakes. So I would not try to go for two, knowing that you can make, your player makers can make a mistake.
See, but that just opens up more game time for your players to make more mistakes.
No, I'm going to agree with Bill on that one. I think going for two.
Oh, no, I know I'm solo on this, but they had all the momentum because they drove down and scored.
Right.
Again, Clemson did.
Right.
So it was going against North Carolina, and yeah, you just scored, but you should have scored to tie it up to reset the momentum and say, okay, now you're going into overtime game thing, which is a whole different game plan. Or should be a whole different game plan if you were thinking you're going to overtime against Clemson.
I just think a game plan, when it's from the 25-yard line, there are very few teams that can beat Clemson in that game plan. I get it. I get what you're saying. But yeah. I didn't think I'd ever say this. I'll give Mac Brown a point there.
Was that the chair?
That was the chair.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Do we got time before the next break to talk about the other close matchups?
Yeah, we got a few minutes left.
So Pitt, A&M, MSU, Stanford, Louisiana Tech, and Minnesota. Which one do you want to start at as far as close games?
I think Pitt. They're FCS Delaware. Not only that, they were down 14-10, and Pat Narduzzi tried on the field goal kicker to attempt a 58-yarder.
Hey, didn't surprisingly he do something missed. Like that?
What? And then they got the ball back because Pitt's defense is really good, and then they went down and scored. So I think they won that in spite of Narduzzi's in-game theory. Mm. Take that as you will.
Okay.
I didn't watch a second of that game, I don't know.
I actually didn't either. I couldn't find it on my YouTube TV. They said it was the local Fox Sports affiliate, but I went to that one, and they were playing some Tigers hype video, and the Tigers
hype video?
No good, so I didn't want to stick around for that one.
It's not a tenure read.
I just saw on Twitter people like, what the heck is Narduzzi thinking? Right. Which is an evergreen tweet, if you ask me. A&M escaped. Arkansas's
trending up.
They looked really good.
They're trending up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a very good chance to pull that one out.
They really did. They had four downs from the 15-yard line, just couldn't pull it out. But, hey, that's definitely encouraging, especially after losing to San Jose State 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So that's why I love college football. You lose to San Jose State, then you come in with your backup quarterback and do really well against A&M. It doesn't make sense, but I love it.
I just wonder how much of whatever chair Sparty Matt was sitting in that he took with him.
Ooh, yeah.
During that game.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Yeah. 31-31 and had to rely on a deep ball from Lewerke in the last minute.
That was such a weird game.
It really was.
Michigan State's defense didn't look good. Their offense did look good.
Yeah. By the way, you never want to trust a deep ball from Brian Lewerke to win you anything.
It's like trusting a fart.
Which, it's hard to do.
Never trust a fart.
Never trust a fart.
Yeah. And then I didn't watch any Louisiana Tech versus Rice, but they squeaked out an overtime win. Mm-hmm. Stanford almost lost to Oregon State without Jamar Jefferson, as we talked about earlier.
They were up by 21. Well close to cover. They were -4. Make that quick. And then they lost by 3.
Yeah, well,
up by 21.
We'll talk some bad beats.
Yeah.
We'll take another quick break and talk our bets. We're back, continuing our betting talk. A lot of bad beats this week. For me, I noticed that the Storms actually didn't give any teams a chance to hit the over. Specifically, uh-huh. Utah, Washington State.
Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
Yep. So a lot of the, especially a lot of the late games. Early games, overs looked okay, but the late games were brutal. There were 25 unders this week that hit as opposed to 20 last week. So whatever that means to you, so be it.
The Arizona UCLA score like 20-17?
Yeah. And
what?
The over-under was set at 72. But we also didn't know that Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor were going to sit.
Right.
So, and we didn't know Dorian Thompson-Robinson was going to get hurt. So the over-under made sense at the time. I don't think Arizona got a snowstorm or a rainstorm like Utah did, but it was wild. It was a very tough week. I finished at 46% throughout the week, and 2 out of 5 with a push on my locks.
I was also 2 out of 5 with my locks.
What were the locks again?
Buffalo did not cover 1.5 against Miami. Oof, not even close. Louisiana Lafayette did cover 3.5 against Georgia Southern. Nevada did not quite cover -2 at versus Hawaii. Very far from it. BYU and Toledo, the over of 60.5, they ended at 49. Not great. Texas Tech Oklahoma was a push at 71, and UNLV and Wyoming did cover 40.5. So
I'm so happy I got Texas Tech Oklahoma 70.5.
I was so mad. There were like 4 minutes left, and Texas Tech had the ball at 55-16. I was like, they're either going to score a garbage time touchdown or nothing. And then they got stuffed, and that was it. So
sorry, could you explain that, what the plus and minus means?
So basically, like, Louisiana Lafayette -3.5 against Georgia Southern. That means if you give me $10, that's you saying Louisiana Lafayette is going to win by 3.5 points or more. So their final score was like 42-25 or something. So they covered pretty easily versus Buffalo, who was favored by 1.5. They lost by 14, so no good. So if they lost by one, I'm correct. If Buffalo lost by one, they still technically would have covered.
Okay.
Wait, no. If they won by one, they would not have covered. I just confused myself.
If they won by two, they would have covered.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the over-under, very simple, just total points scored in the game.
Yes. Yeah, I understand over-unders. Right. It's just the...
So a couple really bad beats, if I may, real quick before we get to yours, Josh.
You may.
San Jose State versus Air Force. The line was 18.5 in favor of Air Force, and Air Force won by 17. That sucked. We talked about Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Northern Illinois, Vandy. Arguably the hardest one for me for the week. Vandy was a 6.5-point favorite. They won by 6. I took them to cover 6.5. Central Michigan versus Western Michigan. By the way, congrats, Josh, to your Broncos for winning.
That was a rough one.
Took Western Michigan at -17. They won by 16. A&M versus Arkansas. I took the under of 57.5. They ended at a total of 58. The UCF garbage time cover, we talked about that. It looked good. UCF by 43. Looked good. And then the fourth quarter happened. And then New Mexico State versus Liberty. I took Liberty at 7.5 points, and they won by 7. So it was a really tough week. I ended at 46%, like I said. If you add those, 7 bets, that puts me at over 50% for the week. So a matter of a couple points here and there, that's the difference.
Isn't 50% still pretty good?
What's that?
Isn't 50% pretty good?
Yeah. If you're hit over 50%, you're still making money.
Right.
I mean, that's assuming all the money is the same. So say $1 a game, whatever it is.
Right.
So that's not taking into account, like, if you just did money lines, which is a whole other difficult thing.
Yeah.
For me, my bad beats, Utah, Washington State. Washington State did not score. I mean, they scored 13, but they did not do what I expected them to do offensively. So that hurt me. I already mentioned Oklahoma State, Kansas State. Expected a little more offense than that. I think the weather kind of affected that. And then I also mentioned Stanford, who was up 21-0, -4 favorite. And they won 31-28. That one hurts. I was checking that, and I saw it was like 7-point game, or it was a 3-point game, and I saw Stanford was driving. It's like, get a field goal, hit something late in the game. Then Oregon State scored, and then Stanford just took knees for the rest of the game. So,
yep, it's wonderful.
Sucked. Rough one. Still 2 of 5. Still about 50% for the year. So
yeah, this definitely
still on the plus money wise.
Right. It definitely pulled my total percentage down. However, I'm still doing pretty well throughout the year, but I just hope that there aren't any more stormy late night games that just kind of ruin everything. Colorado State, Utah State was another one that they were playing in like a downpour, and they still ended with like a total of 58 points. But if they played in sunshine, I think they would have easily totaled 71 or over. I also kind of want to pat myself on the back. One of my good friends, shout out Dan the Bearded Man. He said on Saturday, he texted me, he's like, am I wrong to be really excited about this Ohio State-Nebraska game? And I said, yes, you are wrong. This is going to be a blowout. And he said, but the line's only 17. I said, I'll give you an alternative line of 31. And Ohio State still covered that.
31. That's my new number.
Well,
it was a car.
Adrian Martinez did not help that at all.
No, he did not.
Ohio State might never lose again.
I think you're right.
Do you want to know?
In our lifetime?
Yeah, never again.
Probably.
No, not
against
again.
Michigan.
Like, for all the talk, you can tell me if I'm wrong. For all the Jalen Hurts talk, I feel like Justin Fields is kind of flying under the radar.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, from what Hurts is doing in Oklahoma, I mean, Fields is damn well doing that at Ohio State. And he's not even, you know, I know Hurts isn't playing full games either, but, I mean, man, that offense is good.
Yeah.
So our boss is an Ohio State fan, and we were kind of watching the game with him.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about his take that they are the best team in the country?
I think they're one of.
Yeah.
I think
someone has to dethrone Clemson or Alabama for me to think otherwise.
I also agree with that.
Yeah. But do you think of the last three, let's say, Ohio State teams, is this the one to do it?
Yes.
They're certainly looking like it because I think Justin Fields is a perfect combination of JT Barrett's mobility and Dwayne Haskins' arm. And they are so deep on the D-line that it's I don't know how you would game plan against it.
Well, Christ, those wide receivers are monsters too because
they're so fast.
Well, we saw plenty of overthrown balls
mm-hmm.
to which an average receiver would have either given up
right.
or been over his head.
Right.
Those guys went and got the ball.
Right. And even scarier, if Justin Fields can bring those throws down just a hair, those turn into 80-yard reception touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of 40-yard gains where he falls to his knees.
Yeah, he has a stretch out to get it.
Exactly.
And he's mad because he could have run for more.
I also – the degree of difficulty against opponents is still a caveat for me this early in the season.
Mm.
Like, obviously they've done what they're supposed to do against teams like Miami of Ohio and Cincinnati. I did not – Nebraska was a bit of a surprise in terms of the huge margin of victory, but
it will be interesting this week
against Michigan State. Yeah, this will be a great test. A really good defense.
Not the way they look, though.
That's true. I also think
it could have been one of those games too, where Michigan State was looking ahead to the Ohio State.
They definitely could have. I thought you were talking about Ohio State for a second. I was like, they looked okay.
No, Michigan State.
Right. Yeah, they very well could have, but I also Indiana put some good film on how to dissect Michigan State's defense, and Ohio State has the weapons to do exactly that with a lot more precision than Indiana did.
Yep.
Because Penix had a good day, but I also think if he has a little bit more accuracy on his throws, that a lot of those completions go for bigger gains, and they score a little bit more efficiently, and that's what Ohio State's game is, efficiency. They score so quickly. In the blink of an eye, they're up 28-0.
So I guess we're already assuming that it's going to be Wisconsin-Ohio State.
I think so.
In the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
Now, do you think that is the true litmus test for them? Because that defense.
Well, they'll play them.
Yeah, they have – Ohio State plays Wisconsin
regular season.
Oh.
They play in 3 weeks in Columbus.
Oh.
That's going to be bonkers.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's a primetime game.
Yeah, I think so. That's also Michigan Notre Dame. So you know what got a backseat? Michigan Notre Dame.
I was about to say, where do you think the game is going to go?
Oh, Columbus.
Columbus.
Easily. Well, let me.
They haven't been to Columbus yet. They'll probably go to Columbus.
Let me check our little exercise that we did of where is game day going to go.
I think I said Michigan Notre Dame.
I guess I didn't realize that they had the Wisconsin crossover this year.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's schedule is absolutely brutal. They play Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan in their crossover games. Right.
And they still probably go 11-1.
Yeah, probably. Well, I can't find it where the where game day exercise was.
It's okay.
So
okay.
Oh, I found it.
Okay.
let's see. I had Notre Dame at Michigan was my prediction. Other games that they could choose. Auburn LSU.
Oh, my goodness. I'm already excited for this week. You just named three games.
And Oregon versus Washington State.
And that one, it's not.
That's not looking great anymore. Yeah.
Man, all right.
So, okay.
It's a CBS.
So that even changes mine even more. So with Wisconsin's defense, do you think that's the only true contender in the Big Ten right now?
To beat Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Probably.
I'm just looking at Ohio State's schedule right now. home to Michigan State, at Northwestern, home to Wisconsin, home to Maryland, at Rutgers, home to Penn State, then the other game they're going to win.
That one game.
That one game.
Yeah, they're going to win. That one game. So,
okay.
Do you have any predictions for a flip-flop? So, let's say they beat Wisconsin week six. Do you think Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin would have a better shot at it? Or
it's always tough to beat a team twice, but I don't think so. I think Ohio State, they're too good. They're too talented. They have
And when you look at how do you stop Wisconsin, you stop Jonathan Taylor. Northwestern did that to a certain extent, and they slowed Wisconsin down. Northwestern is so offensively inept, they couldn't do anything to help themselves. But I think Ohio State's built to defeat Jonathan Taylor, especially when you have Chase Young as your leading defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Likely the 1-1 overall pick next year, just saying. The game plan to beat Wisconsin is, at least beating Wisconsin's offense, relatively simple. Stop Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
And I think Ohio State can do that with ease. Maybe not with ease. But I think Ohio State can do that.
Okay.
That game's going to be sweet. Last time they played, Wisconsin wasn't even like Wisconsin yet, and they went to overtime in Madison.
Yeah, but that was at Madison, though.
Yeah. When the jump around to the night game, hits different, baby.
Yeah. You feel that.
Yeah, you do. You feel that miles away.
All right. Well, anything else y'all want to talk about?
Not really. Just really did not want to end the podcast talking about how good Ohio State is.
Yeah, well, we're not a Michigan podcast. I think it's okay to do that.
Correct. If we were a Michigan podcast, it'd be a real bummer to talk about Ohio State.
No, see, they're a very interesting team, so that's why I think
they are. Especially when we're talking about, especially through 5 weeks, how it looks, who is going to beat Alabama or Clemson.
Right, and especially in a week that Clemson stumbled against a team you didn't think that they would have any trouble with,
right,
kind of puts that question mark in there.
Who's going to do it?
Who's going to do it?
Because we know it ain't going to be a Pac-12 team. To come full circle.
Right. So, okay, before we end, sorry, this will be my one last question. Based off the everything so far, who's your 1-4 for the playoffs?
One is Bama.
Right.
Two. Are we going just to... Oh, man. I want to say Clemson, but I think Georgia has looked better than Clemson.
I'll give you my seeds then.
Okay.
Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Okay.
It's a lot of reddish colors on the...
A lot of red.
Yeah.
Color scale.
That's a good point. If we were a talk radio show, I'd say, do you leave Clemson out and go Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State?
If Clemson's 12-0 and they put a one-loss Georgia team, assuming Georgia loses to Bama,
But I think right now, the way they've looked in terms of beating opponents swiftly, doing it efficiently, playing the part of a best team in the country, it would be Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, Keith? Because
this isn't an isolated orange. That's all red.
This isn't an isolated incident with just UNC this week either. They didn't look great against A&M. And A&M's a good team.
And that's why I posed the question, because Clemson hasn't looked like a defending national champion.
Right. And, I know you can go back to, say, 2017. They lost to Syracuse. They barely beat A&M last year.
Is it them just coasting, though?
Also true. But I don't think they've hit fifth gear yet.
I mean, how many times have we listed off Etienne and
Justin Ross as a disappointment for the week?
Right.
Yeah.
Justin Ross?
He was one this week.
Right. No, they're quarterback.
Trevor Lawrence. I was just listing random Clemson players.
Yeah. So, how many times has Trevor Lawrence and Etienne disappointed you fantasy-wise, which, again, doesn't necessarily translate to the real game, but
I think
they score points based off production.
Three out of those five games, though, it's not him not playing well. It's just him not playing a lot. 52-14 Georgia Tech, 41-6 Syracuse, 52-10 Charlotte. I think those three games are just They get up by a lot. Trevor Lawrence goes out. Etienne goes out. I'm not saying the A&M and North Carolina, you know, that's a different story because they did not look good in that North Carolina game.
And they played all four.
And they did play all four in those games.
So I would say that passing of the guard has affected them in greater and at a greater rate than, let's say, Alabama every year because they just reload.
True.
Or evidently Ohio State because they reload every year too.
Yeah. And in terms of Clemson's schedule, unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to have definitive answers until Wake Forest a month and a half. Because you have Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Wofford, and NC State.
Which, again, becomes
not a lot of good measuring sticks.
Because it's another interesting case because that ACC is so weak without Clemson.
Yeah.
Because if Clemson was in the SEC, this would be a whole different conversation. So we'd talk about a Pac-12 team.
It's true.
Actually having a potential in here. They're literally the only thing
Texas,
that's holding the ACC.
Texas A&M was supposed to be that game for them, and Texas A&M doesn't look that great.
Right.
And they didn't look that great against Texas A&M.
No. You have a Florida State team that's bad. Louisville team that's bad. You need those two teams to be good in the ACC. We know Clemson's good.
Mm-hmm.
But do we know, as you guys just said,
can they compete with Alabama good?
Yeah.
Because not only that, you have a pissed off Nick Saban this year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who's out for blood.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if I had to give mine.
I want to change mine.
Okay.
You can go first.
Just based on color scheme?
And our conversation right there.
Well, go ahead. Change yours before I give mine.
Well, I would go Alabama.
Is this in order?
Yeah, Alabama, one. I would put number two is going to be Ohio State, three, Oklahoma.
Wait, you're
going to
put Wake Forest four, aren't you?
No, three, Oklahoma, and four. I'm still doing Clemson, but I'm putting them as a four seed.
Okay.
As opposed to me just throwing out two seed.
Georgia out.
Yes.
Okay.
I still think a 12-0 Clemson team deserves to and will get in over a one-loss Georgia team.
See, I also wonder, the cynical side of me, is the playoff committee going to put Alabama and Clemson as a semifinal game? Because they're going to do everything they can to make them the final again.
Right.
People don't want to see that again.
Yeah.
I don't.
Give me a
personally.
New game.
Yeah.
Give me Georgia-Oklahoma from 2 years ago.
Hell yes! That was great.
I will say, I think Clemson's going to go 12-0. But I don't think they're going to look good enough doing it.
Mm-hmm. And winning the ACC championship is not necessarily enough of a resume builder.
Right. So I would almost go Alabama, number one.
Yep.
Number two, Oklahoma. Number three, Clemson. Number four, Ohio State.
Okay.
That's assuming, again, Ohio State's also going to go 12-0. And just look like world beaters again doing it.
Yeah. Because they have a much tougher schedule than Clemson does down the stretch.
Their style points mean more because of the competition they're facing.
Nailed it. Completely agree. I also feel bad that we're just completely eliminating LSU already. They look so good.
Oh, I know.
But
they look great.
When they got to run, they got to play A&M, Auburn, and Alabama still.
Right.
They're a good team.
Well, because it's what we're looking at. In terms of the first 5 weeks, and that's our only preview. So based off these 5 weeks, this is what we believe. Now, we'll see weeks 6 through 10, whether that changes.
Right.
But right now, that's how I'd rank.
LSU's best win right now is Texas, which is a good win.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a shootout against Texas.
Right.
And if I would probably be willing to bet that Alabama would leave Texas in the dust.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Good playoff talk.
I like it.
Tis the season. We hit October and we start talking football playoff. I love it.
All right. Before we end, quick shout out to CFF Champs where I get all my data. So please go and donate to CFF Champs so they can keep up their great work. Bill, where can people find us?
On Twitter at PTO_podcast, or you can email us at theptopodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. Josh, you have anything else?
No, I'm good. It's sunny now.
From
so
the black chair of doom. No, you're good. Sun's out. But
yeah.
All right. We will talk to you all next week.